In 1985, there's a woman called Eileen Egan. She used to work with the Catholic Worker and Dorothy Day, but she came somewhat taken up with this religious, was called Mother Teresa, Sisters of Charity. And she decided that she would really get to try to know her better. And she stayed with her and followed her. And finally, she wrote a book about her and her sisters. And the book was entitled, Such a Vision of the Street. The full quote was from a poet called, English poet called T.S. Eliot, Miss Prelude. It was, full quote is, such a vision of the street that the street hardly understands. And she was making a point that a lot of people, in seeing Mother Teresa's sisters, they think of them as social workers, humanitarians, doing good, and they admire them. But that's how they see the street and the sisters on the street. And she said, but for Mother Teresa, she sees it differently. She doesn't see her sisters as social workers. She sees her sisters as Christ, serving Christ in the disguise of the poor, the rejected, those most outcast in society. And that makes everything different, how you view what a person is doing. And only with the eyes of faith can you fully understand what they do. I mention that because as people will think of us in the streets today, and they will see us in various ways. Some protesters, demonstrators. But what's important is not what they think, so to speak, but how do we view ourselves? Do we understand what we are doing? It makes all the difference in the world to be effective. Because the helpers I keep stressing, the media wants to project the struggle is between those who are pro-life and those who are against life, the pro-choice, pro-life groups. And we can fall into that and think there's a battle going on, we're on one side, they're on the other, and in this war we have to crush them. And we would be wrong, and we'd not be effective. How do we see ourselves on the street? Well, today we are reflecting on living this Mass. And the Mass is making present to us an incredible mystery. But the whole world was in a state of brokenness, rejection, estranged from God. And God, instead of just letting us go, so to speak, to hell, he refused to do so. And he came into the human condition. He came in not because we were so lovable, but the reverse, because we were not. And he brought into the human condition this incredible, merciful love of God, this unconditional love of God. The only way you stop anger is for one person to be patient. If someone is hurt, someone has to forgive. You'll never have reconciliation. You'll never have peace. And so it is that you don't remove darkness by bringing more darkness to it. You remove darkness by bringing light. And so Jesus, who is the light of the world, he comes into the world, and he is this unconditional, everlasting love of God present in the world for the purpose of redeeming it and out of love for us. And the mystery of Christianity is that in a few moments, you and I will receive this risen Christ called Holy Communion. And this Christ wants to go today to those who are broken, where it is midnight at midday, where the people are most in darkness in this culture of death. But how can he get there? Who will take him there? Well, thanks be to God, you. have responded to the word, you're the good soil. You're here this morning, and you're here to allow Jesus through you to bring his merciful love, his truth, to those who desperately need it. And so the mystery of Christianity is the risen Christ continues to do the will of his Father through his body, the church, through you and I. And so as you see what is happening here, is that we are bringing Jesus to the streets of Jackson Heights. And we're bringing Jesus to where he was always intent on going when he was on earth, to Golgotha, the place where innocent blood was going to be shed. And of course, the innocent blood was his own. And he was doing it for those who were going to shed his blood. And so when we are present today outside these places, we must be present with the same mindset and heart as Jesus Christ, as our Blessed Lady. We must be present in love. We must be present in a manner in which we truly, from the heart, are praying for the conversion and that people will change and leave the culture of death and embrace Jesus Christ. And when we do this, of course, Almighty God will work through us. And in the process, we're living this Mass. You see, the Mass is meaningful because first Jesus took flesh, and as a priest he died. And that salvific death and resurrection is made present to us eucharistically in this Eucharist. But it is meaningful because there was a sacrifice, a victim, and that's being made present in this Eucharist. For us, the Mass would be meaningless unless we too became victims with Christ. And so when you leave the church, you're living the Mass. It's the full sacrifice. And when you do that, then God's work continues. So the mystery of Christianity is we die to self and live to Christ. And St. Paul said, you know, when you have a seed, speaking to the Corinthians, he said, when you have a seed, you throw it into the ground. You don't know what's coming up, what's going to change. But for that seed to grow, you have to die. It has to die to itself. But then it is changed. And when we die with Christ and give our lives day in and day out, eventually the change will take place. Christ will be formed within us. And if Christ is formed within us, then our bodies, our physical bodies, will participate in that victory at the end. They will be resurrected in the power of the soul, the glory of God will flow over into even our bodies. So the mystery that we do in today, how do we view ourselves on the streets today? How do people see us? We must be there in such a way, which we do. We go and we speak to no one. Our conversation is with God and His Blessed Mother. And we go peacefully, prayerfully. And we go to the sites and we come back and they say, what were those people? They were praying. I think they were praying. And when people are praying, you think of God. So you bring God to the situation. And if you are driven by Christ, you bring Jesus to the situation. And then the Spirit of God takes over. And we leave it then in God's hands. You know, in the past month, there's a tremendous amount of emphasis on building a mosque at Ground Zero and Ground Zero itself. But I might just close by saying to you, you know, 9 years ago on 9/11, I was outside the abortion mill. And the abortion mill that I was outside of is at the foot of New York Harbor. And you can look across the harbor and you could see the Twin Towers. Actually, the night before, I was at the Twin Towers at 11 o'clock that night, 9:10. And I was there with a doctor who was present at the monastery. She was from Romania. And we had been up in the Twin Towers that week. And she wanted to see one more last time in the great accomplishments of man before going back to Romania on 9/11. She was scheduled to go back. And so at 9:10, we were there, 11 o'clock at night. And then 9 o'clock in the morning, her flight was in the evening, We were standing outside of the abortion clinic praying and counseling when suddenly, as you well remember, when the towers came down, the wind was blowing in the direction of Brooklyn, out towards the Atlantic, and over our heads it turned like midnight at midday, things dropping out of the heavens upon us. And everything stopped in New York City except that which was absolutely necessary, which was an emergency, except for one thing. The abortions never stopped. Did you know that? They never stopped killing the babies on 9/11. There was another priest with me, Father Delendick, and he was one of the chaplains to the New York City Fire Department. Father Judge, who was a good friend of Detective Steve McDonald, was the other chaplain. And as Steve knows, the man was incredibly heroic. Father Judge and Father Delendick went to Ground Zero, and everybody knows Father Judge died. He died a martyr. What people don't know is Father Delendick almost also died. But I couldn't go at that moment because they were killing babies where I was at. So later at midnight, I was at Ground Zero. Now just share with you this experience I had, because it still affects me to this day. I was there and watching these rescuers heroically risking their lives, still looking for bodies, trying to pull people out. The fire was, they couldn't breathe. You had to put a mask on just to breathe. But we felt so helpless. And finally standing there, and I was there with the doctor from Romania. I was there with a young fellow in the back there, Mike Reddy, the three of us. We were standing there and felt helpless. And we said, let us pray the rosary. Let's pray the rosary in the midst of this incredible tragedy. And so we did. And as I prayed the rosary, I closed my eyes. And as I'm saying the rosary, I could see, once again, the people in the building getting ready for work, 9 a.m, feeling so secure, so safe, going over to the water fountain, getting a cup of coffee. And suddenly, an object comes from outside, a terrorist object, into their safety. And there was no place to go, no place to hide. And everything radically changed. But as I was standing at Ground Zero at midnight, something happened also to me. With my eyes closed, I no longer saw the people in the office getting ready, safe and secure for the day's work. I saw a child in the womb, secure, feeling safe. And suddenly I saw an object coming into the womb from outside. And the object was the instruments of the terrorist, the abortionist. And the child had nowhere to go and nowhere to hide, be torn apart. And then I realized, my God, Ground Zero is ongoing. Ground Zero is where ever innocent human life is being taken. And you don't have to travel all the way to New York, to downtown Manhattan, to get to Ground Zero. Unfortunately, it's not far from where any one of us lives these days. It's not far from where we're going. We're going to go to two places this morning to pray at. But it's Ground Zero. And people say, you are the yet rescuers today, going to Ground Zero in a peaceful, prayerful way to turn the hearts to save those who are trapped within the womb, to save the mothers who are exploited into the ground, to save the people who are doing this, who don't know what they're doing, until finally it happens and they have second thoughts. I'm sure even the terrorists themselves, as they were going into that building in the plane, had second thoughts at the end. What in the name of God are we doing? Right? And so it is that you today are today's rescuers. You today are responding and bringing Jesus. You're bringing Jesus to those who are in need. And you are ongoing Ground Zero. Will be here in Jackson Heights this morning. And to it, we will bring Christ. We'll bring light where there's darkness. We'll bring the truth where there is the error. We'll bring hope where there is despair. Okay? And Almighty God will bless you also, because as the seed falls into the ground and dies, that's what you're doing. You get up early in the morning, you're sacrificing your time, your day. But our Lord said, then it changes. But it doesn't change unless you die, unless you sacrifice, unless you be one with Jesus. But when you do that, he says, then everything will change. What it will be, you don't know yet. But your person, your spiritual life itself, will increase, that you really become Christians. You really be Christ forming within you. You'll notice the change. You're forgetting about yourself. You're only thinking of others as did Jesus. You're making present the unconditional, everlasting love of God today that God brings to the world, but now through you. And you start to change. And you become something you never thought. And you let God take over. And so it is in that attitude then, this is how we see ourselves. Such a vision of the helpers on the street. It is Jesus going to Golgotha, bringing his unconditional love to those most in need, the people in darkness. And when they see the great light, when they see God's love, everything will change.